We continue in this journey through Lent in turning to lectionary passages for each week. This week we have turned to the Psalm, but also particularly to Paul's letter to the Corinthians as we prepare to enter into this season of Lent. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, pour forth your Spirit upon us as we gather here around your word, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm going to begin this morning with a quiz. How many of you have heard of Jeremy Lin? Not quite as many as I thought, but former Harvard basketball player, but he wasn't a star there, cut from two NBA teams, sleeping on his brother's couch in New York City as he is picked up to sit on the bench for the New York Knicks. When the Knicks lose two of their starting players and are in a slide of losses, he comes off the bench and propels them to five wins in a row, breaking the previous NBA record, and I forget who holds it, maybe my son knows, of points scored for the first five games as a starter coming off the bench. On Friday, two of the editorials on the New York Times editorial page were about Jeremy Lin. And David Brooks gives us some interesting things to consider as we look at these texts this morning, as it speaks directly to the scripture text in Corinthians that we are considering, a text about how we are to live in Christ. The problem, as Brooks sees it, is that the sports ethos violates the religious ethos on many levels. In Brooks' words, ascent in the sports universe is a straight shot. You set your goal, you climb toward greatness. But ascent in the religious universe often proceeds by a series of inversions. You have to be willing to lose yourself in order to find yourself. To gain everything, you have to be willing to give up everything. The last shall be first. It's not about you. David Brooks' words, not mine. He writes that this sporting ethos pervades modern life and shapes how we think about business, academic, and politics. You can read the full column in the Hope Room. It's posted on the bulletin board on the side if you'd like. There is indeed a tension between our developing our own individual gifts and strengths and recognizing that it is God's work in us that makes all that possible. We see that tension as Paul writes to the Corinthians, and the lectionary text for today says something to us about that dynamic tension. Some of the most powerful and positive statements about how we are to live in community, to love one another, come to us from Paul's letter to Corinthians, a church that was very often in conflict as it moved in many different directions. Paul wrote several letters to the church at Corinth, a church he cared deeply about, and not all of his letters survive to today. In fact, the first letter to the Corinthians is actually the second letter that he wrote to the Corinthians. We don't have the real first letter to the Corinthians. Paul deeply loved this community, and he sought to be the light that he knew that Christ wanted him to be in the world, the light that is coming forth to enlighten all people and to show them how to live. He had high hopes for them, that they would be able to live as those lights. And Paul grappled with this dynamic tension of asserting his own authority to help call the community back to Christ, while at the same time calling believers to be slaves in service to Christ in seeking to live in that way. The ministry that Paul calls the people to here in this text is rooted first and foremost in the mercy of God. When we think of mercy, we think about being kind to others, of giving to others. But the mercy that we receive from God, this mercy of God that Paul is talking about, is an unconditional love that sustains our very life. It's a ministry that we are given that calls us to be a people of transparency, of honesty, a people who are rooted in God's word. That means that we are to be ever asking the question, what does Scripture say to us? How does it lead us to interpret the other things that guide our lives, that distract us from Christ's life in us? Our time, our talents, our treasure. This Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and we will enter again into the season of Lent, a season of reflection in the 40 days leading up to Easter, a season which challenges us to grow deeper and closer to God and the life that God intends for us. What would it be like for us to be a people to step out to be more rooted in God's word, to seek to honestly live our lives in Christ, not to be something that we aren't, but to bring our whole selves to God and to live every day knowing that grace and power rooted in the mercy of God. Our African members know about this. More often than not, if you ask one of them, "How are you?" the beginning of that answer is invariably, "By God's grace, we are good. In God's mercy, we are doing okay." Listen, you'll hear it in here. I think it is a power that has transformed in this congregation, those simple words, "By God's grace, we are good." God's love is always beckoning us to live in fullness and trust of that love, to remember and to ground our ministry and our very lives there. Last Saturday at the Presbytery meeting, as is often the case, a new candidate was coming forward to move up to the new level of candidacy. At his charge to this candidate at the meeting, his pastor, Reverend Dae Joon Roe, reminded Soo Young to be trustworthy, live with moral integrity, gentle in nature, with the Lord at the center of his ministry. He could have been quoting directly this text of Paul from Corinthians, Jesus' power out of the heart of mercy. When people proclaim the gospel, what they proclaim can never be dissociated from words and actions. The gospel is not a set of abstract truths to be announced, but a way of life to be lived. At first glance, the text from today sounds a little bit negative and over-defensive, but Paul is quite overwhelmed by the greatness of God in Christ, God's mercy for him and for us. And it is into a challenging world that message comes. We too are called to be bold for Christ, but to always remember that that boldness is rooted in God's mercy, God's love for us and for all God's people. And there is a root in humility to seeing it that way. We do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, Paul writes to the Corinthians. Our text today says that we proclaim Jesus as Lord and ourselves as slaves for Jesus' sake. I even choke on the word. It's not a politically correct concept to be slaves. We'd much rather be followers or even servants of Christ, diakone. But the Greek word is doulos, slave. Yet we have to acknowledge that the mercy of Christ that we're talking about here compels us to respond, to be so rooted in God that we can only live as slaves, our very actions depending on that relationship to our Master, Jesus Christ. It's shocking language to our ears, because we would much rather think about Jesus as our friend, our closest companion, But Jesus Christ is also our Lord. To reach deeper and higher, to stretch and to grow, to serve and to commit our lives to the God who has given us new life in Christ. The paradox and promise of this message is that in becoming slaves, we become truly free as we have never known it before. Since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart, Paul writes. If we would but root ourselves in that mercy, the overwhelming and unconditional love of Christ poured out for us, God can do abundantly more than we can ever ask or require. With a great task comes great strength. Did you know that it is on record that the whole of the musical work of Handel's Messiah was composed and written down in 24 days? Handel hardly slept or ate during that time. A great task brings its own strength to it. It is Jesus who says, "Let your light shine. Do not hide it under a bushel." And this is a countercultural message for us, not just between sports and religion, but on the values which undergird our society for us to be the best we can be, self-made people, rugged individualists. Brooks says in his column of this tension in Lynn, "The odds are that Jeremy Lynn will never figure it out because the two moral universes are not reconcilable." But he goes on to say that they are in tension, a tension that we too live in, even if we aren't NBA new stars. In new visions of life and ministry that we see in harmony and for better ways of living in Christ. Brooks ultimately does give credit to Lynn for seeking to live in that tension to follow Christ. In a 2010 interview, Jeremy Lynn was quoted, "I'm not working hard and practicing day in and day out so that I can please other people. My audience is God. The right way to play is not for others and not for myself, but for God. I still don't fully understand what that means. I struggle with these things every game, every day. I'm still learning to be selfless and submit myself to God and give up my game to him." Jeremy Lynn's words. A creative contradiction, Brooks calls it. Witnesses to Jesus sometimes come in very strange packages in our culture. Will you join with me this Lent as we root ourselves in this mercy of Christ in ministry together, out of God's great love for us, to live into the gospel truth that we have been given, and may Christ's light shine out of the darkness, that we too may truly proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. Amen.